This message by John Robert Stevens is titled, And the Word Was God.
Would you like to open to John chapter 5? That's a good chapter. Now, let's spend about a half an hour. And let's say that in this Sabbath service, we're going to learn something we've never learned before. When we learn this word, we listen to it very carefully. It could open the door for us to understand more things about our walk with God than anything else we've ever heard. First of all, John chapter 5, and we'll start at about 38. Are you ready? You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. Verse 46. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? How is this connected together? Well, he's talking about the fact that he talked to them, talked to these Jews. Some of them, it goes on to say, some of them were believers too, but they heard his words. They would search the scriptures, because in the scriptures they thought they had eternal life. But he said, these scriptures testify of me. But you do not come to me that you might have life. Now, a number of passages, both in Revelation and in John, especially the first chapter of John, talk about the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on to say in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have in Revelation 19 that it hath on his as he comes as a mighty conqueror, he has a name written, the Word of God. Now, we talk about the living Word. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. We come to the place where this passage has to be understood. He said, you search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. But you don't come to me that you might have life. Boy, that begins to show something about the living Word. The tapes you've heard, the books you've read, did it reveal Christ to you in a very real way? Well, revealed a lot of truths, I understand end time truths and so forth, then you missed it. For the living Word is Christ's Spirit being manifested in the earth. You can sit here and argue about it and say, well, that's blasphemy. But the living Word does the very same thing that the scriptures do. Because of the anointing of it, it reveals Christ. And if you've listened to tapes and you have no revelation of the Lord, you haven't heard him. If you've read the scriptures and you haven't had a revelation of Christ, you've missed it. The whole thing was not to teach you doctrines and ideas. It was to reveal Christ. And Christ said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have life, eternal life. But these scriptures testify of me. They're opening up the door to me. But you do not come to me that you might have the life. You see, you cannot divorce the Word from the Lord. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Why I can accept that, then can you believe that God intended for you to be a living epistle, that anybody sees you would not have a revelation of you, but have a revelation of the Lord? Right. That they would see him. So, well, I can't buy that. You'd better. You're the living epistles, read and known of all men. The Christ is writing this on your heart. You see, Jeremiah 17:1 tells that God's going to take an iron pen with a stylus of a diamond and write, engrave their sins on the heart, their heart. But he also comes around and says, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh and I'm going to write my word upon your heart. I'm going to take away your heart of stone, give your heart of flesh. Jeremiah and Ezekiel concentrate on that. And Paul comes along with the very same idea. That's why it's scriptural. He said, you're manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ. We wrote that by the Spirit of the living God, not with pen and ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. We wrote it not on stone, but upon the fleshly tables of the heart, so that you become to every man on the earth the Word of God. Oh, that's blasphemy. Jesus is the Word of God. Oh, I accept that. Then the Christ in you must become the living Word of God to the world too. We've got to understand this, that our thinking has reduced this down. I don't know why. Maybe because this is the way the world does it. They want to believe truths and doctrines, but they don't want to see Christ in it. They want to put the jigsaw puzzle of the scriptures together until they understand how every truth, every doctrine, every event in all the scriptures fit together. There's a story I heard old Dr. Eastwood, Presbyterian minister, when I was about 14 years old. He was a great force and influence in the Washington, Iowa church where we were at that time. And he was the first one to introduce the first edition, which was just a few pages, of Halley's Handbook of the Bible. Now it's hundreds of pages, but he took compassion upon a young high school student that loved the Word, and he'd teach me about it. And he'd tell me, he said, you know, he said, this is true. He'd come down and teach once in a while in the church, but the encounters that I had with him was great. He was an Englishman and spoke with an English accent very decidedly. And he talked about a jigsaw puzzle that had two phases to it. One was a very intricate picture on one side that was very difficult to put together. So he said, the only way to solve the problem was to put it on a board, turn every piece over, because on the other side, there was the picture of a man. The man was easy to put together. Then you could put the board on the puzzle, flip it over, and everything was all together. The most intricate puzzle you could ever find was put together because there was a man on the other side that was easy to discern. The illustration was, you search the scriptures, but you can try to find a lot of things about them. Things that people differ over, doctrines and creeds and various things. But turn it over. Look beyond the obvious. You search the scriptures. But he said, they are they that testify of me. The pictures, if you don't see Christ in the Word, you haven't seen it at all. You can never put the puzzle of the scriptures together until you see the full focus of Christ. You can never put this end time move together until you see Christ coming forth as a living Word within you. Until you see yourself as a living epistle of Christ, you haven't seen what the living Word is all about. Until you see Christ in the living Word, you haven't seen the Word either. It becomes a very, very simple thing. You believe in God's Word. I say, I believe the Bible. I believe it is God's Word. Do you believe that it is to reveal Christ to you? Do you search for it until you see something revealed of the Lord to your heart? For unless you've met the Lord in every word that's been spoken, in the scriptures and in the living Word, you have not heard the Word as you should have. Are we getting it? I can quit and go home now. I think maybe the Word is enough. But I'd like to talk a little more about it if you don't have anything else to do. All right. How many would like to go a little further with this? Let's go back to the book of Hosea now. And this becomes verses of scripture that seem to be totally unrelated to what I've just given you. But they're not. Listen to them. They're so carefully there, all right? Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So let us know. What's all this for? Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain, watering the earth. Now, go on a little further. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty is like the morning cloud, like the dew which goes away early. Therefore I have hewn them in pieces. How? I have hewn them in pieces by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. Now going back, let's keep this thing straight. He hath torn us, but he will heal us. He's wounded us, but he has bandaged us. How does he do all of this? By the word, by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and the judgment on you are like the light that goes forth. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Let's find what God's after. He's not giving you the word and putting you through this devastation. Say, now's the time of healing. But what he has one purpose. He wants you to know the Lord. Then we'll know if we follow on to know the Lord. He wants not all your offerings. He wants you the knowledge of the Lord in your heart. All of his dealings, how did they come to pass? Because of the word. Again, we go back to Hebrews 12, and he said the word comes and shakes everything. The word comes and really deals deeply. And you'll find the shaking, the devastation, everything that you've gone through is designed for one purpose. God is wounding you by his prophets. He's slaying you by the word. He's coming at you for one thing. I'll tear you apart. I'll wound you, but I'll heal you. After 2 days, I'm going to raise you up. And the third day, you're going to live in my sight. Do you understand what that means? Are you grasping this? Yes. All that the word does, and it's slicing, the sword of the spirit, the sharp two-edged sword, cuts to lay you open before God, to remove from you everything that resists the knowing of the Lord, everything that withdraws from God, everything that stands to keep you from this relationship of knowing the Lord and the word of God that's going to come to your heart. Oh, you've got to get this way of thinking in your mind. God gives you words, say, boy, oh boy, this word's going to cut me up. But always see what it's doing. He hath torn us, he'll heal us. He's wounded us, but he'll bandage us. He'll revive us after 2 days. He raises us up on the third day that we may live before him, to live in his presence, the awareness of him. The whole thing is not just to correct you where you're wrong. The whole thing is designed to remove the thing from you that keeps you from standing in the parousia, the presence of the Lord. Then shall we know. Oh, let us know. Oh, let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. Let's press on to know the Lord. Well, you see this. Oh, I know the Lord. Be careful. Philippians 3 talks about the goals of the Apostle Paul at one of the highest levels of a spiritual attainment that's ever been done in the whole history and course of the church. And he said, I count all of these things but loss and this and that, everything else, that I may know him. I want to know him. There's something in my heart that's yearning to know him. I'll suffer everything. I'll go through anything that he puts me through. He can slice me to ribbons. He can tear me to pieces. He can wound us. But he's going to bandage us up because we're going to stand there with our splints and our bandages in his presence. We're going to follow on to know the Lord. Then he comes to us as the rain, former and the latter rain. It was very comforting. The healing, the rain, the blessing. It's all wonderful. But don't you understand that the whole purpose of this word, the sword of the spirit, the living word, everything else, is to deal with you to get rid of the things that prevent the knowledge of the Lord. He doesn't want you to hear the word, listen to it, wind up saying, now I understand something about the parousia. Oh, finally I see the end time events. Now I see the restoration. Now I see the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Those things can still be vague doctrines. They become real when you meet Him. You've got to meet Him in it. Someone has said that even the people who listen to the tapes do not understand that the tapes are divinely devised for one purpose, to bring you into a revelation of the Lord. Amen. You're going to stand in His presence. You're going to know Him. You're going to follow on to know Him. I still feel that there is too many of the people that are missing what God is trying to do. Well, I'll study the manuals, I'll study this and study that, so I can go out and teach Bible classes, and I can do this. I can start churches. I can minister to the people. Listen, you can't shepherd anybody if you don't know the shepherd. The principles of shepherding cannot be taught apart from God dealing with you and you coming into His shepherding. It's a love relationship. It's a Christ coming forth in you. You can't teach the word. You can't teach the principles of the word unless in your heart there's an anointing to reveal Christ. In the book of Acts, keeps talking about this. Get this in your mind. They went everywhere and they preached the word. The word increased. But it says they magnified the Lord. They preached Christ. They preached the resurrection. They preached Jesus as Lord. And then it turns around and said the word kept increasing. The word was multiplied. The word was glorified. Of course, you can't divorce the word from the Lord. If the word is revealed, it has to be a revelation of the Lord too. He is the living word. You see, you mean to say what you're saying is the living word? No, it's not a living word if you don't see Him. If you see Him, it's a living word. If it reveals Him to your heart, it is a living word. Brother Stephen, I want to get this right down. Let's define it. Let's make a definition. Do you preach a living word or do you not preach a living word? I can't answer that. Is there sound without an ear? Someone was discussing that the other day. Is there sight? The flower that blooms out in the desert unseen, does it have color? Is color in the eye of the person who sees it? Is hearing in the ear of the person that hears it? Is there any word if there's no ears to hear it? Is there any living word unless it's revealing Christ to you? Brother Stevens, I nail you down. Do you preach a living word or don't you preach a living word? That's for your ears to determine. Did it reveal Christ to you? Did it make Him Lord over your life? Did you open your heart and find that the Lord was revealed to you? Jesus, you sure gummed things up in that next chapter, sixth chapter. You just loused it up totally. You got to telling people this and that and they left. Yeah, but are you going to go? Are you going to leave me? No, we can't go. You have, but they could have said you are the words of life. Where shall we go? Well, I'm getting out of the living word. Yeah, be careful that you analyze carefully. Was Christ ever revealed to you in that word? If He was, how heinous the crime before God of leaving a living word that was the Lord's revelation. Now, I never found the Lord in it. You're better off if you leave it to know that the judgment will be far less on you because you didn't know. To whom much is given, much will be required. See, the goal is to know the Lord, what He's doing. And He's revealing Himself. I just about reached the dead end here, I think. You see, unless the living word and all the dealings that come to your life as a result of that living word result in knowing the Lord, we've missed the whole purposes of God. Tell me, what is the whole purpose of the events at this hour? Would you tell me that? Oh, we're going to see Antichrist destroyed. No, we don't work about that too much. Worry about it. We're going to see gospel of the kingdom preached. Yes, that's true. We're going to understand the truth as knowledge is increased. Yes. But what is the real goal? What is God doing? Well, he's going to bring judgments on the earth. I think that's an incidental, secondary thing. And I'm not so convinced by what a great deal of the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled. And one of these days, I'm going to take you through history, as well as the book of Revelation, and show you something that happened before this more or less modern thing came out. I think that you might be interested in knowing what was a traditional thing for centuries from the ante-Nicene fathers, the early church fathers, right on down as to what really was the truth. What was the truth? How did they interpret it? There was not a reformer, not a great apostle of the reformer that believed the rapture theory, the Babylonian thing. They believed, they knew that Rome was the Antichrist. They lived for 1,000 years under that. They knew where the falling away was. It was history to them. We're not in the falling away, we're in the days of restoration of the truth. Boer's been restored in the last 100 years, last 500 years, and you can possibly know. What is God doing? What is he doing? What's he trying to bring forth? End time events? I think there's a big question about those. What is he trying to bring through? The parousia, the presence of Christ. Christ coming forth in a many-membered body. Living epistles that speak the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth to bring an end to one age and the beginning of another. You talk about the presence of the Lord and you're talking about the one thing God's doing. And you talk about the living word, you're talking about Christ's presence real to you. Once again, you see, there it is. We'll return to the Lord. He has torn us, but he'll heal us. He's wounded us, but he'll bandage us. He'll revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day and we will live before him. Someone said that if you take that as 1,000 years, it means the whole cycle of almost 2,000 years has been completed since Christ, and this is the time that we live in his presence. Then the purpose of the living word comes to reveal his presence to you. That's it. Make him real to you so you can walk with him, so you live with him. What's this living epistle business? So that you carry that presence to others. Believe me, you like this book? Do you believe it? It's wonderful, isn't it? So I have to read more chapters every day in the Bible. I'm neglecting them. Don't worry about it. If that's the way you're approaching it, you're not getting much out of it anyway. Oh, I've got to see the Lord. I see you, Lord. Never go to the book unless you intend to see the Lord. Never listen to a tape unless you're listening to the Lord speak to you behind it. Have I got through to anybody here?
Yes.
How many of you are saying, I'm going to correct a few things in my heart. It's only a matter of the focus of my faith, and I'm going to get some things going. Listen, I don't want you to follow Stephen's or Stephen's teaching. I want you to say, I heard a living word. And the Lord became so real to me. If it wasn't that, you missed it. You missed it. And I failed. You failed. Everybody's failed. It's all in vain unless there's a revelation of the Lord.
Right.
The first message I ever preached was out of the book of Acts, where Paul stood up and he preached. And he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision that came back to the little church in Linwood where I was preaching, and that was the first message because it was real to me. I was aware that I'd had a revelation of the Lord and how sustaining that could be. I knew that no longer would I be an expositor of doctrines. From that time, the Lord had given me a promise for 2 or 3 years, I'm going to give you another ministry, and that ministry is going to exalt me. And I thought, well, what am I doing? I'm preaching the scriptures. I couldn't understand it. But after I got into the living word, I was aware that no matter what I preached, there was such an anointing that it unveiled Christ to the people who were hungry to hear him and listen to him. That first message triggered things off. Because believe it or not, even your fundamental world does not comprehend that the word is to make a revelation of Christ. They still preach doctrines to get results, to get money, to get converts, to get people to agree with them. to build an organization, to build a business, a enterprise, to build a kingdom, but not his kingdom. But the thing that God is trying to say here, there's only one basic reason and motivation to preach the word, that you exalt Christ in such a way that he draws men to himself. He becomes real to them. I did it. I got this message plenty early. I was a little late getting here, but it started in about 4 o'clock this morning. I kept thinking about this, kept praying about it. What really happens is started as I was meditating on the 23rd Psalm, and I think that, you say, how could that lead to it? Well, I said, I went through it, that the word was to reveal the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, and all that he was to do, the things that he was to bring, was to bring the exaltation of the shepherd to your heart. And we're so concerned about the benefits to the sheep as being a sheep that we forget that it's the Lord as the shepherd that is the great revelation of it. Amen. And the more I thought about it, the more I said, that's what's behind every word that God speaks. Right. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify, witness, manifest, reveal me. But you don't come to me that you might have life. Remember, it's the letter that killeth. Nothing is deader and nothing is more destructive than religion that uses the letter of the word that doesn't bring a revelation of Christ. The letter kills. Well, we preach the word. Do you preach the word unless there's a revelation of Christ? Is there any such thing possible? Lord, bless this word. Yes, there's something in it. We're going to turn to you, Lord, more. There must be a greater focus on you, Lord. In every word and everything we hear, we have to hear the Lord. The centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ in every word that he's spoken, every line, every commitment that he brings us forth, that we might go through everything and stand in his presence. Amen. Stand in his presence, that we might follow on to know the Lord. What is the living word? One, it is Christ. Two, it is a revelation of Christ. Three, it is Christ speaking his word in the earth. Four, it is not an exclusive thing that only one or two could speak it, yet it's not a very common thing in its expression. Five, it is Christ as a person. Six, it is Christ as the Word. Seven, it is the Word that is also spirit and living. You grasp what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
See, we can get hung up on so many things. We've yet to see what commission is. 90% of the commissions over you will be projects. You're lucky if 10% of it ever defines your office or position to the church. Because if this thing is done right, the Spirit of the Lord moves upon people and Christ speaks through the Spirit to say, you go do this, and you go to reveal Christ. And when it's finished, it's done. Look what happened in the New Testament, Acts 8, for instance. Philip went down and he preached Christ, the miracles, healings, and so forth. He did not focus on authority. He did not focus on any position. He didn't say, I'm one of the ones that serves the widow's soup at Jerusalem. He did not claim an office or position. He claimed nothing. He preached Christ. When the Spirit moved him, he went someplace else. He opened up the whole Ethiopic and the Coptic religion of Christianity, was the purest form of it for centuries to come, with the Ethiopian that he won to the Lord in that same chapter. All the things that he did was because he was commissioned. The commission was largely God saying, go do this and go do that. You get to Acts 13 and you have Barnabas and Paul, and the Spirit of the Lord speaks as they're in fasting and prayers, separate Barnabas and Saul to this work. They prayed over them, fasted, sent them out. And they were sent by the Holy Spirit. Projects. They weren't called anything. Somewhere along, a couple chapters later, it said, somewhere over in Galatia, they were called apostles. So that time, they were just those who were sent to do a work. The office was never important. It came as a result of doing projects. You want to be an apostle? You're going to have the fruit of it. Go do it. Go do it. You are emissaries of a word. You actually are bearers of Christ into the earth. There is no such thing as a position of any importance. There's only a heart that listens to what God says and does it and takes that word like a burning fire shut up in your bones. When did God ever speak in the Old Testament to a prophet? He said, I raised you up to be something important. He said, I put my word in your heart. Even when they said, I can't speak anymore, the word was like a burning fire shut up in their bones. They had to speak. It was a word. They were speaking God into the earth. That's what God wanted. They were not coming to speak forth an order or a kingdom of positions or ministries or anything else. They were coming to speak forth God into the earth. What he had to say had to be conveyed with him. If they've accepted, he said to the disciples, they won't accept his disciples. If they accepted my word, they accept your word. If they rejected my word, they reject your word, because it's all over the word. If they don't listen to the word, they don't listen to Christ. If they hear the word, they'll hear Christ and have him revealed. Right. Amen. And it leads us to the place where we never glorify flesh again. Amen. But we magnify the word of God that comes forth that glorifies Christ. And when we hear a man, it may be with faltering words of man's speech. No enticing words at all. But we listen because it's a revealing of Christ. We listen. Keep listening. Don't weigh it in the balances for doctrines so much as you listen to hear Christ speak. All the devastation, everything you go through, forget it. It's designed for one purpose, to stand, then shall we live in his sight. Yes. Right there, just like that. Like we're in one another's sight. The whole purpose is that we begin to see Christ in one another. Right. We see Christ in everything that's said. You got him in this morning. You heard him. Right. Do I magnify that and say, I am the oracle of the Lord? But I only know one thing. None of these things move me. Only one thing, I want to speak his word. Amen. With integrity, with purity, with anointing, so that you come to know Christ. It's not important that you ever see me. God forbid that you should be focused on me or that I should ever be an issue. The issue is the word. The war is over the word. Yes. If you've heard a living word, it's revealed Christ. If you haven't heard it, then you begin to take up an issue over the ones that speak it. But the ones that mouth the word are not the issue. Did Christ come forth in that word, and did you have an ear to hear it?
This concludes the message, and the Word was God. If you would like additional information about the Living Word, please write to us at P.O. Box 958, North Hollywood, California, 91603, or visit our website at www.thelivingword.org.